Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Welcome to another Wednesday edition of Main Street Universe. We're back old school live in the studio with myself and hostess Janice R. White, our associate producer. Welcome, Janice.
Thank you, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, everyone. This is our State of the Show Address episode. We're doing that classic thing that many networks do and doing sort of a year in review as well as discussing the future and maybe some of the other guests we've had in the past. So stay tuned this week for Main Street Universe, State of the Show Address, and maybe we'll do some divinations along the way as well. Join us in our circle. Welcome to another episode of Main Street Universe. We're joined in studio as well by my brother, the Reverend Scott Samler Eichel of the Unitarian Church of Accotink, Burke, Virginia.
Hello and Happy New Year.
Now that they know where to find you, now you have to somewhat behave. No, just kidding.
Doesn't stop me yet.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't make any difference. So it's also sort of a holiday episode for us. It's kind of a reunion. We're all back in the studio. Haven't been like that in a while. And I think I'm going to bring on, if this is your number, Brett. It's spinning, Brett. It's spinning. It's spinning. It's spinning. It's spinning.
The Bretster.
Welcome. Are you here?
There we go.
There we go.
I'm here.
The roar of the Velvet Lion. So how has your holidays been, Brett?
Oh, my holiday has been excellent.
Good, good. And did you spend it in-state, out-of-state? Did you travel much, or did you kind of stay home, or what was going on?
I stayed home. I stayed home.
Any exciting New Year Ash celebration craziness? I already know what the answer is, Brett.
I wouldn't know if it's necessarily craziness. I mean, we did have like 200 people for the Christmas masses. In all, and well, today's morning mass and prayer was just—it was just me and the priest today, so that was a little surprising. So
our jokes start off worse. I'm just saying.
Right.
Gone up from high to low.
High to low.
Yes.
Janice, how was your holiday?
Oh, I had a fantastic time. Part of it in New Jersey, as if anybody looks at my Facebook page, they will see Christmas in New Jersey. And last night, David and I went to a Bollywood party in Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
Pictures are coming of that, too.
Wow. Of color, songs, and food.
Yes.
Sounds yes. Like a great New Year's.
It was. It was fun.
Yeah.
I believe I crashed a little early, actually. And then I was back up again.
We went to Piero's.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet, really. And then I ended up staying up late after I kind of came home, and it was like the most non-holiday. I came home and sort of fell asleep in front of the computer and woke up after midnight. Oh. And then was like, well, I'm up, so I started watching movies on YouTube.
Well, I've just driven 10 hours from Charleston, South Carolina.
It had been a long week.
And I had been sick, but my wife's very sick, so everybody say a prayer for my wife. She's had the worst fever and respiratory ailment I've ever seen her have. I'm pretty sure she'll be fine, but she's not feeling so well. And so I got home, and I was a wreck, and I just had enough energy to go out and get a pizza. At least it was a good one. I think we picked the right place.
Right.
But
Piero is locally here, and I'd like to remind everybody, as far as someone local.
Oh, Piero's
Corner.
Street, right?
Oh, yeah.
Corner on Main Street. Yep, that's what it's called, Piero's Corner.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, they do have great pizza.
Someone we used to advertise, I'm starting to advertise again for free because they're friends of mine.
Go see Benny and tell him Main Street Universe Center.
As well as Esoterica Online. Go visit Lily. She's been a guest on our show before, and she had a great store once here in Virginia for about 15 years called Esoterica. So it's esotericanova.com. I recommend you all go and check out Esoterica for your metaphysical needs. Now, back to our topic. We're talking about the year in review, and let's start right off with plugging the shows that we have currently. This one, of course, the flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe, with myself, Janice R. White, our associate producer, Brett Hillman, who is our host as well. 7 o'clock Eastern Time it used to be, but now it's 9 p.m. Eastern Time every week for a while, until things change, I guess. But for now, it's 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. At 2 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Queen Mother Imaku with her show Uatau, and she discusses the Kemetic tradition, the African...
Happy New Year, Queen Mother.
Happy New Year, Queen Mother.
The African-Egyptian connection. And a lot of people do forget that Egypt is, in fact, in
Africa.
Not in the Middle East.
Yes.
So it's some great original language prayers and all sorts of things you learn from Uatau, Queen Mother Imaku, our only daytime show currently at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. On Thursdays. And then Friday evenings, it's Jesse and Nicholas George.
Happy New Year, Jesse.
With Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Jesse is the author of 4 books, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook, as well as You, Me, Life, Dream, its companion workbook, all about relationships. So I think that one has a chance of selling really well because I think people like to read about relationships. It's really quite a well-done book. If you think of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus,
which was a good book?
This is like a graduation from that. That's like elementary school, and this book is You're From One Planet, You're From Another. No, this book is the different energy levels in a person, masculine and feminine, and how they combine with other people and their energy levels, so whether it be the couple be straight, gay, or whatever different levels you have. So it's about proper combinations and properly recognizing different levels of energy, whether they be, you know, a bit more masculine in this category, a bit more feminine in that category. So I say it's like taking Men From Mars, Women From Venus, and making it a little more like this is high school and college, whereas that one might have been middle school and elementary school. So anyway, it's Fridays at midnight, Activating Compassion, the midnight hour. I'm talking a little faster.
We all have all the genders within us.
Yeah,
we do.
No.
We're all born
all
yin and yang, male and female.
You know, sometimes it changes from time to time, but they're all in us at all times.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like to admit that.
And
a lot of people like to admit a lot of things.
On Saturdays, we have Darren Bouquer. Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Darren calls in from the magical city of
New Orleans. Louisiana, NOLA.
Absolutely. Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in New Orleans. So be sure to check that out. He's a great reader. He has his own unique style. And that's 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Kevin Baird with his show Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. Kevin is the creator of the Horizon Oracle cards, and you can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. He's also an artist, as well as some other things. He's a writer. He's written a few books. So I say check it out. And I have a feeling in this environment, folks, we are not going to be able to do a reading tonight if you're calling for a reading. It's a little chaotic in here.
It won't be that way for long.
But,
Bring any
let's get to the topic here.
I was going to say, in my where I'm at right now, the lights keep going on and off.
Really?
So I'm amazed I'm still in the air.
Where are you? Where is he?
What was that?
Snowing there?
No.
You didn't live in Michigan.
Yeah, it's snowing, but I'm amazed I haven't lost internet.
Oh, so you have power going in and out. It's the energy of the show.
Not necessarily power.
To a float.
No, it seems to be just this room.
Just that room.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Now, in the year 2013, in Main Street Universe, we picked up a few new hosts. We picked up Queen Mother Imaku. We picked up Susan Wee.
Yeah.
We very briefly picked up Ishtar. I'm not sure if she's coming back or not, but we're still friends. She just hasn't... She seemed like she was ready to go, but she moved, and who knows what's going on. But she might come back with Earthlight Radio. We shall see. Of course, we had Adam and the Eves. Does anybody remember that extravaganza? For a brief time, we had Sean Pilgrim, who was actually a pretty good reader. We had Evan Pass leave us.
Yes. I miss you, Evan.
And Evan was the last episode of Zariana Radio was right at the beginning of 2013. So he technically was... Now, I think he actually didn't make it, and I sat in and did the show for him, but it was scheduled, and he was still considered with us at the time. But then he had that move, and he went out west. And so I occasionally have played a rerun of Zariana Radio because I thought his original myth that he made, which was called The Story of Zara and Her Clay Pots, was a beautifully written myth that he wrote for... He creates. He believes in pantheon creation, so he creates his own goddesses and gods, and he created this Zara and made a beautiful introduction story of her, like Zara and the clay pots. And his writing style is very poetic, but like a lot of writers, he has no faith. You know, he thinks this stuff isn't good. He should definitely be published.
He's a cool guy.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
I hope he gets his stuff published. He is in Acada,
California. Yeah.
Hey, come on,
nice,
bring us some.
So, Evan Pass, I did actually talk
bring
to him a little while back, and he was going to come back for the holidays and maybe do like a surprise, like one-time shot if the night was available, another Zariana Radio episode. But we'll see when he comes back at some point.
Yeah.
But a very poetic writing style that he has, very very descriptive. I guess we'll start discussing. Here are some of the guests we've had in 2013. I'll start with the list, and then we'll talk about the individuals on the list and maybe what they're doing now. First, we had Selena Fox. We had the return of Selena Fox. Hooray. We had T. Thorne Coyle. And T. Thorne Coyle, unique bit of training as she learned from a pre-Gardnerian, I think his name is Victor Anderson, a pre-Gardnerian witchcraft practitioner in the United States.
Cool,
she's a pretty cool lady. Yeah. So we had, we'll get back
now,
to
was she one of the ones you were... So was she,
say again?
What?
I was going to say, was she one of the ones you were surprised... Was she one of the ones you were surprised to know that a lot of people knew?
Yeah, that happens to me every once in a while. Like, I didn't know people knew who Kellyanna was. And she said yes to be on my show. I thought she was a local musician, and that because I saw her sign up at Sticks and Stones. And then I contacted her, and she said, oh, yeah, I'll come on your show. And I just thought it was somebody local, and I started telling people online, and everybody was like, Kellyanna's coming on your show. Oh, my God, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. We've had Lilith Dorsey. We've had Elizabeth Gilhooly from the Hobbit Houses, those amazing little Hobbit Houses, if you remember those. I love those pictures. And she's actually building a Hobbit House village.
I wasn't there that
day. Yeah, and that was a pretty good episode. She was very bright. She seemed a little nervous at first, but she seemed like she had done a radio show all her life. She just jumped through. But she's used to being a spokesperson for her thing, this village, so she's kind of used to getting herself out there. We've had, from the Fellowship of Isis, Michael Starsheen.
Hi, Michael.
As well as Karen Tate.
Yes.
And we had a couple other FO. Well, some of them were FOI, but were not necessarily here to just to talk about FOI, if you know what I mean. We had
normally Alice.
Yeah, normally.
Don.
Yeah, at one time, yes. So that might have been the year before.
Yep. Okay. thought it was last
year. Maybe it was last year, Reverend Don Lewis as well. Okay, yeah, that's right. The second he's actually been on two or three times now, and I forgot that. The one time it was with the Sabin. Mm-hmm. And you were here for that one. That was one of your early ones. We've also had Amber Kay, a huge name in the world of
great lady
magic and witchcraft.
Great witch.
We had Mark Sutton, the author of Heart Healthy Pizza. We had Jason Pitzel Waters. Jason is from the Wild Hunt blog that's online, and he kind of turned it into a life, really. It's a job for him now, and he's trying to keep that going, and they've done a pretty good job. We also had Helena Dominic from the Cherry Hill Seminary, which is a great metaphysical school, a great
And she's also part
school.
Of the assembly. And we had Evo Dominguez Jr. there, too.
Yeah, Evo Dominguez. He was the one founding the new Alexandrian Library in Delaware, not all that far from here. So if he gets that up, I would love to...
I would love to go there.
Do a road trip and do a show from there.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
I have some books I can donate.
Yeah. We also had the young filmmaker Monica Zinn. We all remember that. We had the guys from the Garden Tower. We had Kenny Klein, the musician Kenny Klein.
Oh, okay.
And who now has a blog at the Huffington Post, so good for him. We had on Mary Phelan's show, we had Robert Place, who Brett will like that because he was the creator of the Saint Tarot deck, the Tarot of the Saints. And he was
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, he was on Mary Phelan's show.
I was just saying that's actually what I'm looking for and can not find.
I don't think she puts it in the title. I think Mary is kind of organized, but sometimes she made a whole bunch of shows like way ahead of time, and I think she didn't always go back and title them after they were done. So I'll find it for you.
I'm looking for that deck.
Oh, that deck. I thought you meant for that episode. We can help you find that. I mean, Mary seemed to know him pretty well.
Or go to Amazon.
Amazon, you might get a used one for like...
cheaper.
It's pretty common.
Is it over 100 bucks.
Sorry. Is it difficult
100
to find?
It's over 100 bucks on Amazon.
Oh.
Oh. Ouch. Oh. Well, I won't be getting it anytime soon.
Exactly.
Go through Mary and and Mary, by the way, might return to do a once a month show. She's already talked about it. She's just waiting for the time. She's very cool, and it'd be nice to have her back doing a show once a month. Another guest that we had of some prominence or whatever prestige, whatever words you want to use, is the stage musician Diana Arkenstone joined us twice. And she's someone, I mean, her new album's up for being like what? Like almost like number in the top five. And she's had ones on the Billboard charts before, be as high as number 16, number 11, I think one album was, and that was on the New Age charts. And she was once married to David Arkenstone, and who was a fairly well-known guitar player. And so she's a fairly well-known musician who's up for a few awards with her new folky album. It was great to have her on the show twice. She was on Walking on the Sidewalk with Kevin Baird, and for a pretty good interview, and then joined us for our anniversary episode. She was a very graceful person. We also had Reverend Don Robinson, and Jatice, I think you were away for that one.
Yeah.
He was the one that founded Beacon House in D.C., and it's an Edgewood Terrace neighborhood in D.C., and his program is very nuts and bolts. It's very real. And it also produced, it's an after-school program that produced its own football team. That's how many kids he had in this thing. I mean, it takes a lot to put...
To put a
football team together is no small matter.
Yeah.
And to him, it's not all about the football. He's very much about getting them scholarships. But they actually were a champion football team for a charity that he got to compete against other schools, and they won. They still exist. They're called the Beacon House Falcons. And his kids go on to better schools. They go into prestigious places that maybe without that program they wouldn't have had a chance to go to. Sometimes they just come there for food. He said that's always the first thing. He feeds them first. And he's like, that's a lot of them came in, and they were kind of paying attention, but they're just eating, and because they weren't eating enough at home. So it's a really you know how some people, when they're looking around for a charity and they're not sure, they're like, okay, is my money going to something real? He's like, the first thing he always says, come down and visit in Edgewood Terrace, which, of course, some people might not want to do because they're like, that's a bad neighborhood.
I've been there.
It is, and I work in some of these neighborhoods a lot. But it actually has gotten a little better, and he really does do a very good job, and his rate of getting kids to the next level is just, it's amazing what work he's done with that charity that I saw. I believe he started in the 90s. And his name's Reverend Don Robinson, if you want to look up Beacon House in D.C. Pretty cool guy. So I actually saw him recently. And we chatted a little bit. He showed up at my brother's church, the Unitarian Church in Accotink. So he showed up. Yeah. He showed up there and was guest speaking about something, about Beacon House, actually. It was a fundraiser and people putting money in the basket for him. They had two different baskets, one for the charity and then one for the, they say, whichever one you want to put it. So, and I believe that we had over on Zell, was that at the tail end of, it was right at the in-between time, I think. But we have had some,
February.
It was a February.
Yeah.
So we've had some really, Tuatha Dé, musicians, we had Tuatha Dé, we had Woven
Raven
Green,
Grimassi.
Raven Grimassi, and
Stephanie
Grimassi. So,
Stephanie Taylor Grimassi.
So, we really have had some great guests come on. It's a little quieter in here now.
Yes. And the woman with the hair shows.
Leota Russell?
Something like that?
I think it was it. Leota.
And I forget the other woman.
I didn't remember that one. I think I was absent for that show.
Okay. So, but yeah, I like to talk about that because we did 3 hair shows. And I thought all of them went well. Jesse and I came up with the idea in Jesse's car when she came to visit us. And
yes, we ate at Curry Mantra.
Yes.
With Evan Potts, actually.
Yes, with Evan Potts and the Curry Mantra. And it was my idea, but I love the fact that Jesse had also took it. And actually, I think she did a couple interviews with Leota Russell, I hope I'm saying that.
She talked about some interesting thing and about how your hair can have an effect on you spiritually and energy and things coming through it like an antenna. And, of course, so some people naturally, like myself, would ask, and I think it was a good point to get to, would say, well, what about people that don't have hair, right?
Well, your hair's growing back, though.
I mean, I'm bald on top, you know.
Okay.
So
I see sideburns, people. I see.
I don't have like no hair on me anywhere. I just have a hairline, you know.
Yeah.
So, but the spirit has a way of like if one mechanism doesn't work, it'll go do it. It'll use another one. So the whole point being hair is one mechanism. So the people that are bald, like fear not, it doesn't mean you don't have spiritual energy or whatever coming through you. It's just me that it'll find another way or use another way.
And that was the time where I went and they got that ghastly haircut. But I'm so glad that my hair is growing back.
It is growing back. It's longer now.
So, but it was ghastly, trust me. So, but Iota did a lot of work on hair because she came up with the pyramid cut.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, which was taken from, I guess, notes or theories from Egypt. And people, she'd get the cut, and the people's hair would be straight because of the cut, so they wouldn't have to go and do chemicals because, really, chemicals are not really good for your hair for the most part.
And as you know, in certain communities, when people want their hair to be a little straighter, sometimes they put the most awful things, I mean, deadly, dangerous chemicals, I mean, that are just can cause cancer and everything else. So she was talking about natural ways of dealing with these things and getting results. And it's good to see some of our guests, such as, for example, Mark Sutton. He was doing okay with his Heart Healthy Pizza book. And he's somebody that was really kind of like the Main Street Universe story or theme because he was just a common person that said, I'm going to put all of my time, money, and energy into this book. He spent the lot, you know, I mean, he spent his savings. He was scraping by. He started selling enough books. He got some other radio interviews after us, and he spoke at my brother's wife's church as well during there was a World Vegetarian Month, and so he was speaking at that conference. And it was
very interesting pizza.
Yeah, the best ones are the ones where
everything
he ever one and it was good. But the best one is when he makes the crust from scratch. He used the Trader Joe crust, which is okay, but the better one, I think he brought the year before, he made it like the crust from scratch, and it just had a better like texture to it. But it's an interesting vegan pizza, folks. Literally pizza without cheese, but he has these heavy cheese-like sauces that the heaviness in them, but they're not oily. They're good for you. A lot of it's nuts and beans and avocados and all these things that kind of have a heavy texture to them. So he's doing okay. He's getting there. He's climbing the ladder. Last time I talked to him, he told me he was selling about $2,000 to $3,000 worth of books a month, if I did the math right. That's good.
I mean,
that's having a pretty good job, just doing what you want to do, going around talking about your books. And I hope he's still doing that well. He seemed healthier. He was in an accident, and he seemed much healthier the second time I saw him. The first time I saw him, he looked really rough. And he was a little worried because he was like, I'm trying to promote a lifestyle, but, you know, I look a little rough myself. But it wasn't because of what he eats, folks. It was because he was in it. He fell really high off a ladder doing some farm work, and I think he landed on some metal pipes and everything. It was just bad.
Ow.
Yeah. He had infections inside of his body, you know, like sacks of infection, just bad stuff. But they've been going away. And he looked a lot better the second time around when he came back. And, of course, Kenny Klein, now a blog at the Huffington Post. That's good for him.
And that was a wonderful interview. Kenny Klein was very fun to have on the show.
That was one of my favorite interviews I had done. I loved his insight. One of the things I also liked is that, because this is really important, especially as part of the Main Street Universe theme, of trying to make your own life. And that is, he was throwing out like numbers for struggling musicians. Like he was saying, if you can get 5,000 people to kind of get your stuff, to buy your CD, to go to your shows regularly, to download your songs from iTunes, he's like, you can make a living. He wasn't saying like you're rich, he's like, but you can pay your bills. And he was kind of throwing these numbers out there like that, which I thought was really good because sometimes that helps people to clarify things, maybe gives them a real number goal instead of going, gosh, I hope somebody buys this. They're like, okay, what do I do to get 5,000 people to buy my stuff, like if I write a book or if I – and that's what he says. He kind of has a regular, like, rotating 5,000 to 7,000 people that kind of get who Kenny Klein is and help support him by purchasing whatever needs to be purchased or going to a show or whatever the case is. So – I thought he had some great perspectives. You can tell he was very wise and had seen a lot of things in his life that maybe a traveling music person might, you know, see the world.
But I thought Tuta Dia had also said something about, because they're basically making a living off of their work as well.
Exactly.
They have quit their day jobs.
Throughout the day.
Yeah.
The thing is with Throughout the Day and that they have is they are a family. They're all related. So everybody...
either by blood or marriage.
Yeah, so everybody in that band, everything in that household is about supporting each other. They're like a tribe. You know?
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, they're like a little tribe making sure that, you know, everybody eats and that, you know, they're getting enough work and making contacts and doing whatever they got to do. So it's not like the one guy trying to do it working against his family, that mother or father's going, why are you still doing that?
The whole family's involved.
They're all working together. So when we talk about Main Street Universe making your own life, we know sometimes it's a slow process. Some people are just better at it than others. Some people have resources that others don't have. But it doesn't mean you got to do it all by yourself. You know, rugged individualism is quaint and all of that, but none of us do anything all by ourselves. Now, as far as a rugged individual philosophy goes, I believe in personal liberties. That side of it I believe in. Like, I believe in you having freedom and that, you know, you own your own body and all of this sort of thing and legalize weed and all that. But the whole thing is we all have help. And even those people that think they succeeded by themselves and maybe did so in some kind of a lonely-looking way, even if they think their point is being made, they had help from what? Well, the generation before them that set everything up for them and set up the path so that they could do it. So we all need help. So Tuatha Dé is a good example of it. They're the Partridge Family of,
yes.
of pagan music.
Yes. And they're so sweet. All of them are so sweet.
Yeah. I think their ages range from, like, what, 17 to, like, 60 or something
yes.
in that band. They have this huge family age range in that particular band. And then, of course, we also had Lilith Dorsey.
Yes.
And Lilith...
A double.
Seems to be doing well. Very scholarly approach. And...
Yes, a new book out, the African American Cookbook.
The cookbook one, yeah. I saw
yeah.
that one.
I want to buy that.
We didn't talk about that one as much when she was on the show because I think it was just kind of developing. I'm not sure if she had it out yet or not.
And I think she only had an hour to talk, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, she's got a cookbook now of African-American traditional cookbook. And I don't know if it also involves for things like little rituals or something like that.
Yes.
It was things something
it's
like
that.
It's
more derived to the Orisha
okay.
lifestyle.
And that should be very interesting. And she brings a lot of history and experience from all over. You know, she's mixed race herself.
Yes.
And so when you have a family where you see different sides of life like that, it definitely has a way of helping shape your perspective. So she, like she said, she also liked her Irish side. She wanted to explore the Druid thing and,
yes.
and all of that and Wicca and all these sort of things, as well as Orisha and Udon and things like
she
that.
She knew Isis Bonowitz. Like, I knew Isis Bonowitz actually very well.
Mm-hmm.
I had met him earlier.
I never met him. I always liked him. I always liked his work. I always liked him when he spoke. Like, if you see him, like, on a YouTube video speaking somewhere, I always enjoyed his commentary. His book, Real Magic's pretty cool. I like that one. Where they're scientifically, like, approaching it and like, okay, what kind of magic works, you know. And it's an interesting, I approach metaphysics like that too. I like sometimes the scientific way, which will be a little bit our talk next week. We'll be discussing Gnosis, trance-like state, that pretty much, if you're kind of a universalist like me, you naturally see commonalities in every practice. That doesn't mean that opens the door for me to claim another practice that maybe I don't have any business claiming culturally or whatever, but I do see the universality of them. So I'm usually careful not to like borrow from deities that I think I don't really have any business messing with, but at the same time I can see the commonalities in different practices. And I stay eclectic. A lot of times the arguments in the pagan world come from people claiming this and claiming that. I stay eclectic.
Well, that you only have to stay with one particular pantheon and not mix.
Yeah.
Where Lilith Dorsey was saying, as you said, she wanted to explore her Irish roots. Isis Bonowitz was definitely into Orisha build-up, because that's how I met him when he was alive, through that. Then, after I got to know him, I knew him from his Akathon Sen.
On Riyak Bain?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I'm trying.
No, no.
So, okay.
I've just heard him say it a lot of times. I used to be a member, so.
Yes.
I think I still get their Oak Leaves magazine. Great magazine. It has some nice poetry in it and things like that. And some interesting facts. I may re-up my membership just to keep getting that little publication.
Nice,
I mean, I like them. I like the group. I like how they think. They kind of give you a reading list when you join, which I think is pretty cool. Henri Octavain, which was Bonowitz's break-off from the Reformed Druids of America, or North
yep.
America, RFDNA, I guess. And so he formed his own group. I don't really know if it was bitter or anything. I think maybe he just wanted his own way and formed Henri Octavain, which is not Outspelled.
At least you can say it better
good
than
luck
I
with,
can.
Good luck with Gaelic. I just heard him say it so many times. And there was a time where I used to take an interest in trying to pull old world things into a ritual. I kind of abandoned that because I always feel like I'm butchering it, you know what I mean? But there was a time, so I was studying a little bit of Gaelic to throw it into like a little spell or something, but now I just don't do that. It's I'm kind of modern, I guess, in that way. But Brett, how are your studies going as an Episcopal minister?
Well, in just, again, studying, not a ministry. It's mostly just, you know, in church work at the moment. It's more practical knowledge than book knowledge at this point.
Well, that's good. Well, you've also been doing a little bit, and no, he didn't ask me to say this.
Okay. All right.
You were doing a little bit of, like, soup kitchen and charity work, too, weren't you?
Oh, I love doing that, actually.
We did an angel tree this year where we, you know, we get gifts on a tree and then we give them to homeless shelters. We're starting the youth group now, which will probably have a lot of that type work in the future. So it's a slow process, but we're going to get started on that. It's actually officially starts this weekend.
Okay.
Okay.
My brother's church did, it's a Unitarian church, for those of you that are, if you're familiar with Unitarian Universalists. His church was engaged in this thing, they still do it actually, where it's a no freeze like weekend or whatever. So it's like when they pick like what they think is going to be the coldest weekend of the month and they invite the homeless people in to stay there for the weekend. Now, that's a real issue up where you live. I mean, you're outside in the wrong night and it can kill you.
Yeah.
Down here, there's maybe a few nights like that, but most of the time it's just you're just going to be very unpleasant.
Yeah, you just have to find a decent corner to stay in, but in Detroit and where you are, Brett, it's, you know, it goes down into the negative, you know, under my understanding.
It's tonight it's supposed to go down to -7. So.
Oh, man. See, I just couldn't deal.
It's actually beautiful here right now. What is it out there, like 55 or something?
It's like 50 on David's car.
50, but that ain't bad. 50,
no,
I'm okay
bad.
With 50 is cool with me. Yeah,
no,
long sleeve shirt or a jacket or something.
It's supposed to snow on Thursday.
You know, at least you're not one of my friends in California that's like freezing when they say it's like 40. I'm freezing. It's like shut up.
I mean,
Marcy says that it's like what, 60 degrees and you have a coat on? What's wrong with you? So
exactly.
I do want to get.
Yeah, it's 14 degrees right now. So.
Oh, okay, 14. Well, hold on just a second. We wanted to remind everybody that in fact Christmas is not officially
over. Hey.
And why is that, you might ask?
Because we didn't exchange our gifts yet.
Because Janice and I have not yet exchanged our gifts.
Yes.
So?
I hope you like the gifts.
Let me see.
Which one shall I open first?
I was going to say, you guys are good for 5 days. We're still in the 12 days of Christmas. Take your time.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, Brad, I'm sorry. I didn't bring one for you.
Perfectly understandable. It's a little bit hard to get it through air. Put it through the computer disk. It'll work.
Yeah.
So, Janice?
I'll send you some Reiki. How's that?
This one you kind of already
right.
know what it is.
Yeah.
So I guess open the surprise one first. You just don't know exactly what
it is. I don't know exactly what it is.
If you notice,
for those of you ladies and gentlemen that know me, if you notice, it's electrical tape.
Yes.
Because I didn't have any scotch tape.
And I'm sitting there thinking my father's here. My father was an electrician.
And so
you darn electrician, Zoo.
That's what I had.
What did you say? What did you say, Brett?
He said darn electrician, Zoo.
Yes.
Brett's father's an electrician.
Hey! See, it's the reason why we're all connected.
That's right.
So we even said that in Kevin's show.
There it is.
Oh, I was looking at this.
That
yeah.
is an interesting book. Now, the definitions, the thing is about the book that makes it interesting, and here I'll hold it up in, for a second.
Yeah.
It's called The Encyclopedia of Occultism by Lewis Spence. This book was first published. It's like all things metaphysical, spiritualism, occult, that you can almost think of, like an encyclopedia dictionary. And it was published in the 1920s.
Ooh.
So this is like, so some of the definitions you might look at and think they're a little whack. It was so interesting. I'm like wrapping it going, I don't know if I want to give this one away. But some of it had great history, like just great little forgotten tidbits. Some of the definitions you will disagree with.
Okay.
My favorite ones, I don't know if they do it in this book. There was another one they did that was similar. And I loved how every time you came up to the word witch, it was always, she gets her powers because she sold her soul to the devil.
Yeah.
And the wizard was always a kindly old guy who works with magic and the forces
yeah.
of nature. That male and female difference. I don't know if they do that in this one. There's a great one in here, though. Let me see if I find the passage,
okay.
if I can remember it. There really was some great stuff in this book. and things that you just, you know, he'll just bring up these great histories. And, well, I've forgotten it now, but there's some, you know, there's one, angels, they even mention an antichrist in this. Just, it's like I said, it's a dictionary of the occult published in the 1920s. And they just go over so much. And like I said, you'll find some of it to be a little bit like, well, that's some nice, that's some old-fashioned people writing this. But some of it does actually come up with some interesting history. I mean, he even goes into, like, demonology, John Dee. So he goes into some pretty dark stuff, as well as, like I said, some surprising things. So I'll go ahead and open. I started liking it so much, now I'm going to go online and look for, like, a used copy. I bought it in a used bookstore. All right, now I'm opening mine.
Okay.
Opening the other one.
Oh, you have a new copy.
Oh. Ah, Amber Kay. You're right, I don't have this one.
Yay! Hey!
Hooray!
Boom.
Which one is it?
It's the True Magic one, the little green book.
Remember
the new one or the older one?
And he's like, well, I never read True Magic. And
yeah, I actually hadn't.
Yeah.
I was very familiar of its existence, but it's one I never had.
And now Denise is opening her final heavily electrical taped. I'm not the greatest.
The electrical tape is not letting me open it, so.
I'm not the greatest at rapping, by the way.
Definitely spirit.
It is a Merlot.
Oh, I love Merlot. Yeah.
But you'd be amazed how much more expensive it tastes.
I won't tell you how much it costs, but
okay.
It was actually marked in the store. You know, they sometimes do that in the wine store. They'll say it's such and such's favorite, like one of the employees. And it's that, you know, that big guy with the ponytail. You've probably seen him in Total Wine.
Total Wine. Yeah. That's where we got the pomegranate
yeah.
champagne.
So it's surprisingly good for the money. Very soft. It's not harsh at all. I like Merlots to be really soft in their taste. That wrapping job was terrible.
This wrapping paper is, yeah.
Try it. Here, let me try this.
It's a
or is it a thing
okay.
that I'm going to unwrap your present? There you go.
Oh, there
pull
we
the
go.
It's
see, I'm being polite. So.
St. Martin, so we're staying with a little bit Christian Saint theme here.
Yes.
Saint Martin Reserve Merlot, and it's surprisingly good
for the money. I mean, it's not surprising.
Like, shouldn't be surprised that it's good, I guess.
Well, yeah.
But for the money, it's really, really nice.
So yeah, I think you'll like that book
a lot. This Encyclopedia of Occultism. I was just reading it today, and I was just like, there was all these great little tidbits that you're running across and little pieces of history. Another one, here's a great one. I had not heard of this, or if I had, I had forgotten it. It's called a fairy spirit bottle. And it's
oh, I've heard of a spirit bottle. Is
It's I don't even know if I want to actually say what it is over the air, because I don't know if I want anybody to try this. Let me just give you the gist of it.
Okay.
But it gives you, like, instructions for how to capture a little fairy spirit in bottle so that you have one with you all the time.
Yes.
I'll say this. It starts with a crystal, a little bit of chicken blood, and doing things like burying the crystal, treating it to moonlight, and there's a bunch of various other steps. And then at the end of it, and after some chanting and all sorts of, there's a few different steps, and at the end of it, a spirit, like, appears in the bottle. I guess the spirit comes through the crystal and then comes into the bottle. So it's a, so you have this, like, spirit in a bottle, like, on your desk if you're this alchemist, you know, wizard or whatever. So it has all kinds of
really interesting things
like that kind of strewn throughout the book. But I don't know if I wanted anybody to try that one, so I didn't give them all of the steps.
Yeah.
Then he'd say, well, there was a guy on the radio.
You know, that did that, yeah.
But it was, I think you'll like it. And this is some sort of, this is Andrea, it's a champagne.
Yes. Because it's a new year. We're popping that. Yes, we are.
Hold on, folks.
You know, David and I had some pomegranate champagne, and, you know, left a little bit out for Israeli. Which is Aloha, not an Orisha, but and there's three of them, but we left them out for Freya.
Kuan Yin likes ginger tea.
Oh, okay.
But the father aspect, I usually leave a bourbon.
Yeah.
In a little golden little cup. But the ginger tea just felt right for Kuan Yin. I could be wrong. Maybe she. Yeah. Oh, this is. It's making some noise. I don't know if you can hear that.
It's making some noise.
I might have to take this outside.
Yeah. No. I should put my head to the side.
Okay. We are now outside. Safety of this old wooden stove, actually, or brick stove. I'm sorry. It's old.
Yeah.
Okay. It was okay.
Okay. But you know, you can get hurt by getting hit by a champagne cork. Trust me. I know.
All right. Well, in this particular case, it wasn't actually a cork. It was like one of those plastic corks that's attached to the top of the. It's like a new one.
Yes.
Okay. So for all of you who can hear this, let me see. I don't know if that's translating too well. I don't know if this is great radio we're doing right now.
Britt, can you hear it?
I can hear it just fine.
Ah.
You can hear the fizzle a little bit?
Fizzle. Yes,
I can hear that.
Wow. Okay. And right now I see that we have about 12 minutes left. And I didn't bring my cards with me.
No.
They're inside the house. So we didn't have the
Hi,
calls
Kevin.
Anymore.
Happy New Year.
We did have calls before, but I think they dropped. That's okay. Oh, wow, I forgot how much I hate champagne.
Well, thank you.
I mean, thanks. Thanks for the bottle. It's not my favorite thing, folks. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was thinking that last night.
I know
night
to bring him, what's it, vodka again. So.
Go ahead, Brett, what was that?
I was thinking the same thing last night. It's like, this is not my favorite.
I like darker wines, like a Merlot, and I like a good, you know, beer, like a stout, like a IPA, and things like that. And
I like sweet.
Oh, I don't like sweet wine. Ugh.
This one is
I don't like dry.
I like mead, if I'm going to do sweet, like something meadish.
Really? Do you like the ciders?
I like mead.
Yeah. I like the cider, apple cider, or what's it, Angry Orchard or something? I like that one.
They make them dry as well. They make dry ciders. The dry ones are okay for me. The sweet ones are honestly, I feel like I'm getting diabetes when I'm drinking them. But
no diabetes.
But some of them have a really nice crispiness to them. Some of them are interesting. I actually was at a cider tasting one time, and it was fascinating. It was also they had a beer tasting as well. That was at Susie. It's a Unitarian event where you stay there for a week. I played on stage there for about like 10 times that week. It was a really fun week. I mean, it was, like I've said to people before, I've been to these Unitarian events. I've actually never been to like all the pagan events that Janice goes to.
I go to a lot.
I've never been to one that was anything more than a day festival. Like you know, like a one-day shot, kind of like just going to the Ren Fair for a day.
Yeah.
Which I like going to the Ren Fair too. But the week-long Unitarian one was, of course, there was a lot of pagans there too. It was fun. We played on stage. I still have a YouTube video or two of me playing on stage there. I met a lot of interesting people, including our friend Mina, who's recovering from cancer. She breast cancer, had to have both removed, and she's like 37 or something like that. So she's
Mary?
No. That was another part of it. You know, she really wants kids and all that, and then this happened. So, but she's recovering now. Her hair's coming back. She's looking good. She's bouncing back, and somebody wrote an article about her, which was pretty cool, about, like, her recovery and her positive attitude during her recovery, which she was definitely living that, because, you know, she wasn't feeling that good on the chemo. But she definitely kept herself up. She was determined that she was going to, you know, get through this. And she has. She's doing well. Mina Greenfield. I actually mentioned her once before on the show because somebody had written an article about her. So we've got about 8 minutes left, and we were discussing some of our people that had been on.
Our show about the microbes and the germs. We did 2 shows with that.
Yeah, we also have shows without guests, which might be good for us to do some more of those, just to dig in a little bit more and just all of us be ourselves. You know, so it's like, that way when we interview somebody, it's like, oh, the people know who's interviewing them, right? So it's like we dig in and we dig into our own resources and do a show. And Brett and I did a couple good ones, too, like that. And you and I did, too.
Yeah.
We did one of the ones that drew some of the most comments I ever had from a non-guest show was the one where we talked about lucid dreaming.
Yes. I remember that show. That was my first show, actually.
I think Melissa called in for that one for a little bit, too. And so we did a lucid dreaming show, which is always, you know, so many people have been brought to the metaphysical dance or spiritual dance, even if it's, you know, Christianity, feeling close to God. I think that's the difference. And next week, our topic is gnosis. And Brett, maybe you can comment just a little bit on this, because you're someone who went from pagan to Christianity, but I still think there's a part of you that likes the idea that you're not just talking about God, but you're talking to God. Or how is your attitude on that, since our topic next week is gnosis, which is getting into kind of a trance or a meditation?
Well, every time you pray, I believe you talk to God, and I mean, there are prayers, and there is Christian mysticism, which is slightly different than many would say in other forms of mystical traditions, like the Gnostics. And, you know, we definitely go back and forth, because Gnosticism had a major part to play in the formation of the church, especially in some of its earlier years, because of back and forth. In fact, the entire Gospel of John was written to kind of combat some of that form of teaching. So you kind of can't ignore it if you're going through a purely historical, but also if you want to go into a religious aspect, you kind of need to know all sides. So that would be, it's very important to know about the Gnostics. And Gnosis itself and prayer have some different attitudes and different ways of viewing things.
Yes. And I think that'll make it a good show next week, because we do have a guest, but the guest isn't necessarily going to be just purely interviewed. She's going to join us in the discussion, and she has a Blog Talk Radio show herself.
Oh.
She is a tarot reader, and her name is Emmy Moon. I don't know if you've ever seen her around.
I've heard of her. I haven't seen her, but I've heard of her. She's on Facebook.
She's on Facebook, fairly well known. I just sort of ran into her on Facebook and on Keen, which is one of the places where she works, and she just seemed active and smart, and then I noticed she had a show of her own, and somehow we started talking on Facebook, and I just said, hey, why don't you come on the show, blah, blah, blah. So it'll be an interesting week. I think it's a good topic, talking about Gnosis. And the idea of mysticism in all traditions, including some that nowadays sort of have these branches of themselves where they say, oh, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this. I've heard people say you shouldn't be meditating, counting your breath in a candlelit room. It's evil, it's wrong. There are plenty of people that think that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And
so we're saying, but they're like, you don't know what you're doing here. You don't know what you're invoking. And let's be honest, a lot of metaphysical and mystical people come from those families, because I came from Southern Baptist, because honestly, it makes it alluring, dangerous, sexy, and fun. Now I want to... You're rebelling, and you're... I mean, I'm not one of those people that... Like, when I see kids that are just like their parents, they make no sense to me, because I was nothing like my parents. I love my parents, but I'm nothing like them. And as far as belief systems and all, but we get along fine. Our family gets along great. My whole point is... Go ahead, Brett.
I was also going to say, we did a whole show on just meditation, and we took it through various ways. Just a point to take some time to reflect goes a long way, even if you're not doing the, make your mind completely barren, that type of meditation. Just taking a moment to be contemplative.
Like Kevin, who's in the chat room, sometimes said, and I've seen this written before, just coloring in a coloring book can be like a form of meditation. There's one light trance that people like to do that's like really simple, where you just draw like a spiral on a page and you just keep tracing it slowly in and out, and do it like 50 times and, see what you feel like afterwards. There's lots of ways to kind of put yourself into that state where suddenly things are still, they're quiet. It's just the funniest thing, because people will say, well, I don't have time, or I'm not in the mood. The trick is, there's no mood. It creates that mood. There's no mood for meditation. Like, hey, I'm in the mood to meditate now.
No.
In fact,
if you're
nutty and crazy,
it would never work.
That's probably the best time to do it, is when you are going a little nutty.
Yeah.
But you think it's not time. Like, I can't do that right now. Now, if you're truly busy and you got to go somewhere, that's one thing, because you don't want to be in a trance when you know you have to go somewhere in 5 minutes. That's not exactly... Now, if you're highly skilled, okay, maybe. But it's supposed to be, hey, this is your time. This is your time with divinity, the other side, God, whatever terms people want to use. And we're down to about 2 minutes, 25 seconds left.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you, Brett, for showing up.
Thank you, Brett. Happy New Year.
Thank you, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Happy New Year. We'll make a little bit of noise. And we'll be back next week with our discussion on Gnosis that we sort of started a little bit this week.
Yes.
The trance, the Gnosis, and the Gnostics, and all the history that comes with it.
And I hope to be back here in the physical, but if not, by phone.
Right. I'll have to see how the work schedule's going.
Yes.
Yes,
still working at
here.
Macy's.
That's right. Jeannie's got a job as well, which is great.
Yes. And we're working on a full-time job, which will be great, too.
Absolutely. So, thank you for joining us, Jeannie Sarwet.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone in the chat room.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Still listen to the magical time machine that is known as the Archive Listen. Thank you all, and have a great evening.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.